from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Stephen Cuevas. After months of negotiation, California lawmakers signed off on legislation that'll save more than $1 billion in federal money for Medi-Cal. Here's more from Katie Orr at KQED's Politics and Government Desk.
California was staring down a $1 billion budget hole if it didn't act to approve a new tax on health insurers used to fund Medi-Cal. The old tax no longer met federal rules. Reforming it meant California will continue to receive more than $1 billion a year in matching federal funds. Democratic Senator Ed Hernandez led the effort to pass the legislation.
The proposal provides a stable, ongoing funding source for Medi-Cal. It allows California to maximize its share of existing federal dollars, and we're always complaining we don't get our fair share. It will not negatively impact premiums.
The bill had widespread support, including the trade group for health insurance plans. Several Republicans joined Democrats to get the tax through the legislature, but not Republican Senator Jeff Stone of Indio. He's not convinced the deal protects consumers.
Will consumers be guaranteed that their rates will not go up? Is there anything written in this bill that will codify the fact that there will be no increases to any citizens in the state of California? No.
The legislation also included $300 million in ongoing general fund spending to support services for the developmentally disabled. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Nearly a dozen hate crimes targeting Muslims and people wrongly thought to be Muslim were reported in L.A. County in the 2 months following the Paris and San Bernardino terror attacks. That's compared to just one such case during the same period a year ago. That's according to a report from the L.A. County Commission on Human Relations. Robin Toma is the commission's executive director.
It happened after September 11th in 2001, where we saw over 100 hate crimes in that period. It was, in that time, over 2,000% increase over what it had been previous to September 11th.
L.A. County established a task force last month to promote stronger relations and cooperation between police and Muslim communities. Visitors who pull into Yosemite National Park will be greeted by new signs today. Curry Village is now Half Dome Village, the Ahwahnee Hotel now the Majestic Yosemite Hotel, and there's more changes. Part of an ongoing trademark dispute between the park and the outgoing concessions operator Delaware North, who owns the trademark rights on those names. Our Central Valley and occasional Sierra Nevada reporter Sasha Coca says it's hardly your average business dispute.
You know, it's really a battle over who owns the names of certain destinations in one of the United States' most famous national parks. Delaware North ran concessions in the park for more than 2 decades, and it says it trademarked the names and owns them. And the federal government says the value of those names is nowhere near $51 million. So they're duking that out in federal court. But in the meantime, the transition to the new company, Aramark, takes effect today, and so the name changes do too.
Now, these name changes do not affect some of the iconic park destinations that people have come to love around the world, like Half Dome and Horsetail Falls. What does change?
Well, it mostly changes the names of retail and lodging establishments in the park, but that includes some of the most famous buildings. So, for example, the Ahwahnee Hotel will become the Majestic Yosemite Hotel. Curry Village is going to change to Half Dome Village, and the Badger Pass Ski Resort will become Yosemite Ski and Snowboard Area. Now, the actual name of the park is not going to change. It's still Yosemite National Park, but if you head to the gift shop, you won't find pens or mugs or t-shirts that say Yosemite National Park anymore, because the new concessionaire is only going to be selling merchandise that simply says Yosemite due to this trademark dispute.
Does the switch from Delaware North to a new concessionaire mean job cuts at places like the Ahwahnee?
Aramark says it's keeping on about 95% of the current workforce, so people who do things like serve the food in the restaurants or change sheets in the hotels, and the union that represents them confirms that.
And so what, if any, impact will these name changes have on park visitors?
Well, it might be a little confusing for a while because maps and websites may still have the old names for a while. If you have a hotel reservation in Yosemite, they say they're going to honor those reservations, but you might want to call and confirm after the transition takes place. Really, the main change, I think, is more of an emotional one. People have a real attachment to the names they grew up with as visitors to the park, so I think that's going to be the main adjustment.
We passed through Yosemite to ask visitors what they thought about the name changes.
Oh, we're standing outside the Ahwahnee Hotel.
K Kathy Dixon and her husband Robert were staying at the Ahwahnee, as of today known as the Majestic Yosemite Hotel. She's unhappy with the change.
Apparently, the California Indians, when they discovered here, called this the Ahwahnee. It stands for mouth. It's the entrance to this spiritual place, and it just has a very special meaning. And you're going to get me to cry.
The hotel's name is a nod to the valley's original inhabitants. Ahwahnee was the name of the area's largest Indian tribe, and the name it originally gave to this valley. Gold Rush-era miners preferred another Indian name, Yosemite, and that's what stuck.
Yeah, changing the name of the Ahwahnee is absurd. I mean, that's a historical building.
Lauren Haas was visiting from Napa.
The name precedes the company that's trying to maintain rights to the name.
Like most people we talked to, Bill King from Tracy wasn't too crazy about the name changes either, but he doubted the transition from one concessioner to another would have much overall impact.
My opinion is the current transition is very smooth from a customer's perspective.
Visitor Robert Franco wonders what the company will do with the names if it doesn't get the tens of millions of dollars it's asking for.
What are they going to do with those names, I guess, is my question. Are they going to try and profit from those names? I don't think it's the right thing to do.
We had production help on that story from reporter Carrie Klein. And that's the California Report for Tuesday, March 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. From KQED's Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
Then we know that we are in Yosemite.
This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, archiving, and backup solutions for physical networks and public cloud services, such as Microsoft Azure and Office 365. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.